Good morning, everybody. This is You Get the Blessing. I'm Bo Mitchell. That's Bob Belts.
Good morning, Bo.
You know who wrote this song?
Joe Pesci?
No. Joe Pesci introduced the singer, Frankie Valli, to Bob Gaudio, who's the guy that wrote this song.
See, I was close.
You were right up against it. So we like to start the show with a little nonsense music every week. So if you don't know the song Walk Like a Man, go see Jersey Boys or watch it on TV now because it's a good show.
You know, I wrote a book a number of years ago that with Promise Keepers and kind of a conjunction with Promise Keepers and NAV Press, and it was kind of like certain steps that guys could take to grow spiritually. And so I thought, you know, the great title would be Walk Like a Man. And they took it and called it Daily Disciplines for the Christian Man, which I think is a horrible title. But so I have the rights back. I think I'll republish it under Walk Like a Man. So.
Well, the story of these guys, if you haven't seen Jersey Boys, is they were just buddies. And when Bob Gaudio got in the group and heard Frankie Valli's voice, he said, I can write songs for this guy's voice the rest of my life. They moved to New York City as backup singers at the Brill Building, and after a year, Gaudio said to, can't remember the guy's name, that you said you would record us, and Bob Crew said, well, you told me you would write hit songs. And Gaudio's like, okay, I will. And in less than a week, he wrote Sherry, Big Girls Don't Cry, and Walk Like a Man. And
wow,
the rest is kind of history. They had the Jersey Boys story talks about their ups and downs as a group and as individuals, and how the struggles they went through just broke them up for a while. But anyway, I like the story of the Four Seasons, and I like the story of our guest today, James Anderson. James, welcome to our program.
Hey, thanks, guys. Nice to be with you.
So each week on You Get the Blessing, we introduce our listening audience to somebody that we think is really making an impact for Christ in this community or nationwide. And James is doing that through an organization called the New Canaan Society. But I want to start, James, like we usually do, by just having you give us a little background, where you were born and what things were like around your home as a kid.
Yeah, sure. Well, I was born actually in Wheaton, Illinois, the other Christian Mecca besides Colorado Springs. My dad worked at Moody, and so I was born there. And when I was about 5 years old, he was offered a job here in Colorado Springs with an organization called the Christian Booksellers Association. So we moved here when I was a kid. And I grew up here, really outside, up in the mountains of Colorado. And my journey to faith is probably one that, at least from my experience, when I tell it, I hear from a lot of people that it's not that uncommon. I was 5 years old. I was playing with G.I. Joes, and one guy shot another G.I. Joe, and he was falling off the back of the sofa chair in our living room, and I was narrating the whole thing, and oh my God, you know, and I remember my mom coming in and sitting down with me and saying, you know, this is why we don't want to say that and why that name has reverence for us. And I kind of understood that a little bit and began asking a few more questions, and that led to the conversation about, well, what does this mean to me personally and what should I do about it? So, you know, roughly around the age of five, kneeling in our living room with several G.I. Joe guys scattered about was when I met Jesus as a personal savior, to whatever degree a five-year-old can. And then, you know, the rest of my life, you know, up through college was pretty kind of standard fare. you know, growing up in a house where everyone was a Christian, we were in church, my dad was on the elder board, you know, the Anderson boys were in the Easter cantata. They don't call it that anymore, but, you know, it was when we were involved, and we were involved in the youth group. After graduating from high school up in Woodland Park, I was offered an opportunity to, on a track scholarship, to go to Biola University in California.
Now, hang on. I didn't know this. What were your events?
100-meter hurdles, the 300-meter hurdles, the high jump, and the last leg of the 4x1 relay. So,
brother, you were fast.
Yeah, I had some wheels then. So it's very indicative of my personality, actually. I'm not your marathon runner. I'm definitely the guy that is great for these bursts of crazy energy. So
did you go to Biola?
So I went to Biola, which was great. I wanted kind of out of the cold weather and, you know, looking to swim in a bigger pond, and L.A., you know, seemed like the ultimate challenge. And so I went to Biola, met my wife there. Coincidentally, we were married after college, but met her there. And while I was there, I was really bit by the bug of storytelling, in particular the idea of film and what could be done with a great story. So I basically made that my major, was screenwriting, marketing, and then understanding the business behind filmmaking, basically.
Hmm.
And so while I was at Biola, this journey of mine continued, where I began to ask questions about, you know, why are Christians portrayed certain ways? Am I more like that or less like that? Do I add to that portrayal? What do I think God really wants of any of us? I think at least as far as the is excellence enough in the world of God? I mean, I think that if it's excellent, that's a virtue of God. And then the question I had regarding story was, what elements of any story aid to the people watching it finding the greater story, and what parts of it detract from that? And that, you know, the virtue of excellence being the first, and then those two questions being second. I don't know, it was just another part of my own spiritual journey. So to that end, I just don't know that that story is that much different from a lot of people, where up until about the age of 22, they live your sort of Sunday school, church on Sunday, and youth group on Wednesday night sort of experience, and that was mine.
You know, I at the age of 22, I had dreamed of being a Major League Baseball player my whole life, signed with the St. Louis Cardinals, and realized that all the prayer I could muster as a new Christian was not going to help me as a hitter because I stunk in Class A ball and played 2 years in the minors and called a press conference to announce my retirement, and no one came except me. So, yeah, I'm not sure what all is in the mix there, but I know too that you and Bob share a common love of film and storytelling. We don't share that much on our program. Tell our listeners what you do along those lines, because you and James have that in common.
Oh, I've just been involved since probably for about 13 years doing some consulting on probably 20 or 30 films. I don't know how many we've done with Walden Media, but a friend of mine, and I only had the opportunity to do that because a friend of mine owned the company, which helps. And then I've worked the last few years with Mark Burnett and Roma Downey on the Bible series and AD and Son of God and some other things. So a little bit of experience in that field, but maybe not as much as you've had, James.
Yeah, I don't know that would be true. I know Bob's name and have known for about that 13 years, actually. I think you guys cranked up Walden Media about 2000. And I was very much aware of that coming online and living in California and hoping, you know, that this was going to be something that didn't just make one or two films, but really stuck around and had an opportunity for an impact. And so I you put it well, Bo, that Bob and I share very much a passion for telling story. And I think that that's a huge part of what I see in God's plan and in Jesus' ministry, is that he told great stories that actually called people to a greater life. And that to me is the purpose of a great story.
I've got a little weird thing to share with you, is just that, you know, early in that whole process, you know, we were traveling quite a bit to Colorado Springs just to try and help people get on board with projects. And a guy named Paul Lauer, I don't know if you know Paul, but Paul has a kind of a business motive, I can't remember, Motive Entertainment, but again, kind of promotional. And we actually had dinner with your dad one night. When you just told me who your dad was, I was thinking, I had dinner with that guy's dad. It's really interesting. So anyway, I know your dad briefly.
Yes, me too.
more yeah, things so you he, guys share.
You know, my dad gave me a great education in both business and in just sort of the sense of the Christian world, in a business sense, kind of what was out there, what was, I think just having access to everything that he had access to gave me a great sense of, like, there are songs that talk about Jesus and there are songs that make me want to dance that also talk about Jesus. Those are the ones I want to listen to. And I loved that sense of virtue, of excellence. And that was a big part of just kind of what was stirring in me early on. So, we share that very much in common, Bob, that great love of story.
Well, let me jump forward here and have you share, when I encountered you at Focus on the Family, how did that come about, and how did you make the jump then into Focus?
Yeah. So after college, I took a job working at a film production company at Paramount Pictures called Lakeshore Entertainment. And I worked there directly for the president and the owner for several years. I read a lot of scripts, had a lot of input on a lot of things, had the opportunity to direct a $2 million film, which I took, did a lot of music videos, things like that. I just was sowing my creative oats, as it were. And in that, one of the guys that was a real mentor to me was a big real estate guy out of Chicago. And that perked an interest for me in real estate. And I went and had a meeting with a couple and asked them about their business as they were leaving. And they basically said, we were interested in taking on a partner. So I became the partner in this real estate firm, and based in Pacific Palisades, California. And jumped into that with both feet, really felt like this is something I understand, dealing with contracts, dealing with high-power people, with egos, that kind of stuff is all pretty, there's a certain through line through that. So I did real estate for over a decade, did very well with it, and in fact, it began to be a problem. My clientele began to be so elite, and my business robust, that I was never home. So about this time, my wife and I have had my second daughter, and my wife is playing the home life while I'm jet setting with people that we're watching on TV or listening to on the radio. And it just became very apparent that I was buying into their life more than I was investing in the life that I had with my wife and my kids. The reality was, I just became very hollow. I became very self-centered, extremely materialistic, and I began to buy into a lot of the lies that I think that the world, and in particular high-impact places of L.A. and New York and the sports world and entertainment world offer. And I just began to believe too much of my own press. So I made some horrendous decisions that almost cost me my marriage. And by the grace of God and some really good counseling, I took an entire year off of my business, and my wife and my two young kids and I basically got out of L.A. and for the first time asked, what does God want of us? And for me, it was the first time I ever said, God, what do you want to do with me? Rather than saying to him, God, this is what I'm doing, and I'd like you to bless it. So I thought that we would get an answer fairly quickly from God, and that was not the case. So we had kind of packed up our car for 30 or 45 days worth of time, and it ended up being 11 months. But in that 11th month, I got a call from Ken Windebank and Jim Daly at Focus on the Family, and they said to us, would you ever consider coming and talking to us about taking a role within our public affairs team and our donor ministries? And that seemed unlikely for me, given that I had worked in film, lived in California, been in this high-profile real estate. Like, even in all that, it just seemed a little like I was a puzzle piece with one kind of odd side to it. But when I met Jim Daly, and I heard about what he really wanted me to do, and just about that my story would fit very well with a lot of people's stories that I would be encountering, we felt really led to go to Focus on the Family. So we sold our house in California, picked up, and we moved here to Colorado Springs, and I worked in one of the wings of Jim Daly's office, where we handled our donors and donor ministries and public affairs. And that's what led me to Colorado, and then that's actually how I met you, Bo, through quite a bit of our experience with Focus and you.
And those were good days at Focus. And I love Jim Daly. I love Ken Windebank. I love what Focus does. Thank God they do what they do to present the conservative side of family issues to the world. And I know you were a big part of that. But as I've gotten to know the New Canaan Society and what you guys do there, I can see the fit and I can see the pull. And now you have been the president for how many months?
Just 5 months. So I just started that here recently.
5 months, and it's still a little bit of a secret in Denver, in Colorado, but it's just huge what you do, and I can't even imagine ever seeing a better men's retreat than what you all just had in Washington, D.C., in terms of just the joy that was in the room with all the 800 participants and the speakers team, and I know you put all that together and should feel, I hope you feel great satisfaction in the role there, but what played into the decision to leave Focus and accept this calling to become the president of New Canaan Society? Or tell us, too, as you described that, what New Canaan's all about.
Yeah, so the New Canaan Society is a group that I was introduced to by Focus. So Focus asked me to go and be a part of what they were doing there. We sort of reintroduced Focus by way of Jim Daly to the New Canaan Society. He spoke a couple of times and just, I think, really was able to wave the banner of what Jim Daly is about, which I also think is terrific. But the New Canaan Society is a men's movement. It has about 7,000 members across the country and 61 chapters that are currently located in 14 states. Most of those are on the East Coast. This little organization started in our founder, a guy named Jim Lane, started in his house in New Canaan, Connecticut. The name became a double entendre, obviously, of the place where it was started, but also of the promise of the Canaan and crossing into a promised land. with God. And so Jim was a partner at Goldman Sachs, and he was about as successful as you can be, and had his own dark night of the soul and a moment where he realized that I have the life that everyone wants, but I don't have a life that is at all what everyone thinks. And he realized what a deep thirst he had for real friendship. And he recognized that the more successful he got, the less authentic he was in his relationships. The more guarded he was, the more he had to lose, all those kinds of things. So he gathered a few guys together, and they just laid out some pretty general principles. And that grew extremely quickly to being about 250 guys meeting at his house on those Fridays. And from there, it began to sort of plant itself around New York City. So another chapter in Connecticut, one in New Jersey, one in downtown Manhattan. And then that from that, it just has really kind of bled up and down the Eastern Seaboard. And, you know, now we have chapters. We have one in Seattle. We have two in Orange County, just south of Los Angeles in California. But we have a lot that are starting, a couple more in Los Angeles, one in Sacramento. We have three really great ones that have been going for some time in San Francisco, Silicon Valley, and San Jose. But we've got, you know, Portland and Arizona, all these kind of western side of the country chapters that are coming online. And we actually have a really great chapter in Denver that meets over on Blake Street, just not far at all from the Coors Field. And, you know, the nature of what New Canaan is really, I think, expressed in the DNA of authentic friendships that show us more about ourselves and want to promote in us a deeper, more authentic relationship with Jesus and with other men in that same journey. Now, that's not exclusive to New Canaan. I think one of the unique things that New Canaan does is that our group of men typically are guys that are entrepreneurs, business owners, guys that are in some of the more executive stature spots within companies. And then obviously in New York, we have a huge Wall Street contingent. I mean, just massive amounts of those guys. And one of the things that they were expressing was that they were in small groups with people, but those people were not necessarily equally yoked with them as far as the pressures and the questions that they were having to answer day in and day out as a believer, as a leader, as a father, as a husband, whatever the case may be. So one of the unique parts of what we do is that I think for a lot of our guys, they are equally yoked with other guys that are facing those similar pressures and questions. So I describe New Canaan as being young life for high capacity men mixed with AA, because we don't want to hear about your deal. We want to hear about where you're really falling short and where you're really wrestling, and in a lot of cases help you walk through just some pretty ugly parts of life.
Well, I think you're the right guy to do it, and it sounds like your journey your journey helped, but you can handle, it's kind of like you're describing up and outers, which is interesting because it the higher up the flagpole, the harder the wind blows and the lonelier it gets, and you're bringing those guys together. So how can guys plug in to chapters here nearby, like in Denver? Where do we go for information?
Well, we have our national website, which is newcanaansociety.org. And in that, there's a huge banner on the bottom of that first page that will give you information about You can put in kind of where you live, or you can see all the little map points, and it'll show you where we are, where we meet, and a contact person for that chapter in particular is usually a couple guys that head it up and kind of show where to connect. Anyway, that's always probably one of the best ways to do it, and it'll give you a lot of information about it. The Denver chapter really is a terrific chapter.
Well, I'm going to have guys plug into that, and as we wrap up, I want to thank you for being president. It's a tough job you're in. Good job.
Thank you, Bo, very much.
Well, that's James Anderson, president of the New Canaan Society, and he gave you the information there, you listeners, on how to get in touch if you're in need of that kind of friendship and that kind of vulnerability. We just ask you to step in. So thanks for being our guest, James. Thanks for listening to You Get the Blessing. Bob, see you next week.
See you, Bo.